I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading today comes from John 6, 1-21. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a multitude followed him, because they saw the signs which he did on those who were diseased. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a multitude was coming to him, Jesus said to Philip, "How are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" This he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves, left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign which he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea rose because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near to the boat. They were frightened, but he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word.
Thank you, Drake. I appreciate that reading. It's an interesting thing as we look at this story, because for those of you who have followed a lectionary, there are other readings that go with that. And one of the readings that goes with the reading that Drake just gave us for the lectionary is one from 2 Samuel. And it talks about David. And what it says is the story of David and Bathsheba. And I want you to try to put these stories together. And David wanted Bathsheba, so what did David do? David sent Uriah to the front lines and had him killed. And that's how he got Bathsheba. Now, what does that have to do with walking across the water, calming storms, getting in a boat, or any of those things? Well, there are storms in life, and we all have storms in life. And when we do have storms in life, and we do have places we have to run and hide, things get really tricky. Because sometimes we want to hide and not come back out. Now, let me ask you this. When you hear the story, let's go back to David for a minute, and it will bring us up to where we are. But when you hear the story of David, why is it we never hear the bad things that David did? When you were in Sunday school as a child, when you were going to VBS, did you hear things like David was a musician for Saul? Or he was the slayer of Goliath? Perhaps he was a great warrior or a great psalmist? Many say he was the greatest of all kings of Israel. And let us not forget, it is he who Jesus is a descendant of. Do we not read that? A descendant of David. Now, with all of that said, we're going to continue with David for a while. With all of that being true and correct of what a wonderful man he was, we need to add that he was human, and he caved to human desires. And dare we say it, he was a murderer. Or perhaps we might say, so as to lighten up a little on David, since he didn't actually pull the trigger, so to speak, he was an accomplice to murder. Yet, as Drake read in our scripture, we see Jesus reaching out and feeding all of these people, wanting to help them, make sure that they had plenty to eat, and he turned things into plenty, and he was a descendant of David. How does that work? We don't see any of the David traits in Jesus, other than being a great king, and he was a spiritual king at that. But then let's look at our community of faith. You ever taken a hard look at the community of faith, even in our workplace or in our world, who have done much less than murder? Their sins stick with them. How many people do you know who have made a mistake and you can't get away from it? 20 years later, they're still talking about it. Have you ever been to a family gathering and your family brings up things that you did as a kid? Brings up what you did when you were young and trouble that you got into, and you keep thinking, I wish that story would go away? My mother has a story that she tells, and I will not share it. And I keep saying to myself, all these years later, can't she forget that one story? But she remembers it. But people tend to remember the sin, and they hang on to it. And Jesus tells us that is not what we are to do. And what happens so beautifully, I believe, is that Jesus emulates is God. And we will show how God dealt with David. Like I said, we don't hear a lot about what David did that was bad. We only hear the good. So, let's go back to David for a minute. David was a disappointment, wasn't he? Wouldn't you think that God would say, I thought better of you. You shouldn't have done that. Or what about the people who thought David should be an example? How could he? How could he do this? He should be an example. These words are often said with such bitterness and such resentment. Yet, all of these things are true of David. In this case, wasn't he a disappointment? Didn't his people, and indeed each of us, when we read about this great man, expect better of him? And was he not, as king, supposed to be an example? How could he? If you were his parent, what would you have said or done? You find out what David did. Well, here's where Jesus, God, become one. His heavenly Father was disappointed. His heavenly Father did expect better of him, and his heavenly Father wanted him to be an example of a righteous man. So why do we not hold this over David's head until this part of his life when talking about him? Why is it not mentioned in the Gospels when speaking of Jesus' lineage? What if we read, let's just for a minute, what if we were reading Matthew 1:16, and this is what we read? The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram, and Ram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David the king, and David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and the wife stealer and murderer of Uriah. We don't read that, do we? That's not in the genealogy. They didn't add that part. Wow. That would be an eye-opener to new converts if we brought them in and read that. Not to mention to us, when we accepted our Lord if someone had told us this story. So why? Why the reprieve on such labels and eternal words of hatred? Where can we find the answer to this riddle? Maybe we can find the answer in a circus. Is it possible? See, Jesus tells us about a circus. I'm going to share a circus story with you. Watching a trapeze show is breathtaking. We wonder at the dexterity and timing of the artist. We gasp at near misses. In most cases, there is a net underneath. So when they fall, they jump up and bounce back to the trapeze. Now in Christ, we live on a trapeze. David lived on a trapeze. The whole world should be able to watch and say, look how they live, how they love one another. Look how well the husbands treat their wives and the wives treat their husbands. And aren't they the best workers in the offices and factories, the best neighbors, the best students? Seriously, that is to live on the trapeze, being a show to the world, which is what Jesus calls us to do. But what happens when we slip? And I assure you, we do slip. Some more than others, but we all slip. The net is surely there. The love of our Lord Jesus Christ has provided forgiveness for all our trespasses. Both the net and the ability to stay on the trapeze are works of God's grace. If you were following Jesus and you were starving and you wanted to hear what he said, but you didn't want to starve, and what do I do? I can go back and get food, or I can stay and listen to this great man. Jesus says, you don't have to leave. I got that net. Give me the fish. Give me the loaves. There's your net. I've caught you. Just stick with me. Of course, we cannot always be continually sleeping on the net. So why do we not hold this over David's head until this part of his life when we talk about him? Why is this not mentioned in the Gospels when speaking of Jesus' lineage? Why did God allow David to continue as king and become the greatest king Israel had ever known, to the point that his only son was in the lineage of David? Because of this one word, and the word is grace. God's amazing grace fed 5,000. God's amazing grace made it possible for Jesus to work in a ministry where his name was attached to David. Biblically, grace is unmerited favor. It is God's free action for the benefit of his people. It is different from justice and mercy. And listen carefully to the differences here. Justice is getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we do not deserve, and mercy is not getting what we deserve. Now I'm going to do that again because I want you to hear the distinction. Justice is getting what we deserve. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. In grace, we get eternal life, something that quite obviously we do not deserve. But because of God's love and kindness manifested in Jesus on the cross, we received the great blessing of redemption. I think we can all agree David got what he did not deserve, to be the greatest king of Israel. But because of God's love and kindness, God's grace, he received the great blessing of redemption, as did the people who followed Jesus. As they walked along and they said, we're hungry. Jesus, do you think that all of these people deserved a free meal? They don't tell us what people were following. We never hear what kinds. They could have been the lowest of the low by those standards of that day, or the best of the best, or all kinds. Whatever it is, not a question was asked by Jesus, do they deserve this? Should I feed the good, the bad, and the ugly? No, he didn't ask that question. There was no reason to, because God's grace was present. In truth, we as Christians have no right to look down our noses with disdain on others. We can and should be offended at wrongdoing, but not personally offended, offended for God and His holiness. If we can get it in our heads and in our hearts that when we were dead, He gave us life. When we were unknown, knowing, He gave us faith. When we were enemies, He came all the way down to us to make peace. And when we make mistakes, He forgives us. Then it behooves us to realize that in and of ourselves, we are no higher and no better than those who make mistakes, who sin, as we say. And it is God's grace and mercy alone that allows us to continue in His light. David is one of, if not the greatest example of a flawed human being being given God's grace. Remember these commandments? Number 6, you shall not murder. Number 7, you shall not commit adultery. Number 8, you shall not steal. And number 10, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything else that is your neighbor's. David broke 4 of 10 commandments. And we read about Jesus, who was a son of David, and in that lineage. Are we better than David? How many of the commandments have we broken? The beauty of grace is we do not have to review to see how many commandments we have broken. We've broken them because we are human. But because of God's forgiveness, because of God's amazing grace, God doesn't remind us for the rest of our lives that we have made mistakes. He gave us parents to do that. So we live under the grace of God. And so Jesus takes this trip. He goes down. The people come for food. How much food do we have? Jesus knew what He was going to do because Jesus was going to provide God's grace to the entire crowd without asking one person, not one, have you been good? Do you deserve it? Whether we are a minister or a member of the church, we are to love the Lord. And the way we prove it is to serve Him. To serve Him is to do His word. And to do His word, we must do His work. And all of us that are saved by His grace are ministers of what He has given us. Many of us are like the old Civil War veteran who used to wander around begging for food and a place to stay. He would always talk about his good friend, Mr. Lincoln. He had been hurt in the war and was unable to hold a regular job, but had pride in a letter from the president which he was not even able to read. You say you knew Lincoln? Prove it, said a stranger. The old man pulled out the paper. Here, I have this paper he signed and gave me. He took out an old paper folded many times. Do you know what you have here, old man? You have a generous federal pension authorized by the president. You don't have to live like a poor beggar. Mr. Lincoln has made you rich. God has made us rich. In this story of Jesus providing a meal, He's saying to the people, God's made you rich, and you're living like you're poor. Why? How many of us today, right here, are still thinking about mistakes we made in the past and grieving over them? God's forgiven us. Why don't we forgive us? We can forgive ourselves. It happens. It should happen. Because there's no question that God loves each and every one of you. And God's grace is abundant. And God's grace is feeding you every day. You just have to partake of the fish and the loaves. God isn't asking you what you've done wrong. He just knows that you're his child. What a wonderful life is possible for the child of God because of God's grace. Because God has made us rich, our sins do not stick to us in God's eyes. Only humans do that to other humans, not God. God says, I sent my only son that you, and you may be forgiven. I sent my only son. Go as my servant David and sin no more. After this event in David's life, David led a perfect life. Because he understood the grace of God. He understood the power of grace. And he understood that God was good to him and was going to continue to be good to him. So let us not forget, as we read about the people being fed, what they were actually fed was the grace of God. You can think of fishes and loaves, but I guarantee you, had you been there and taken a part of that meal, you would have been ingesting the grace of God. That's what you would have fed on, the grace of God. So let's go forward from this day and remember that every day is a new day in God's eyes and should be in our eyes, and we are the receivers of amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful that you are a forgiving God, that you are a God who does not hold things against us, but a God who spreads his grace all over us, a God who engulfs us in his spirit of love, his spirit of compassion, and who sent his only Son, that we may understand that it's not just fishes and loaves. It is you filling us with your spirit, with your hope, and with a desire to serve you. Be with us and guide us, for we ask this in your holy name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.